written by one of the members of our church family here about what the incoming new lead pastor should be. And he should be one who mentors and trains people to be Christ's disciples. Isn't that what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20? He said, go and make disciples. And that is really what the teaching of God's word is in the purpose for the life of every believer. Some of you remember Johnny Cash's song. And Johnny's been gone from this earth for quite some time. But how many of you remember the song that he sang, I Walk the Line? Amen. We're out in the country here. We're country music folk. I Walk the Line. And these were the words of the opening lines of that song. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. That is, those words are very, should be also describing the walk of a Christian. The Bible, in a number of places, describes the Christian life as a walk. Walking means movement. It doesn't mean standing or sitting. It means that we are moving forward. In Romans 8:4, we are told to walk in the Spirit. In Colossians 1:10, we are told to walk worthy of the Lord. Romans 6:4, we're to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. And then Romans 13:13, walk properly as in the day. The Greek word that's translated walk is perpatio. Figuratively means to conduct oneself or to follow. When we commit to following Jesus, he is the one that leads us. And, you know, I'm sure all of us have different ideas sometimes of how we would like to walk out our Christian life. But really, when we commit to following the Lord, we are committed to doing what he tells us to do. How many of you like to be told what to do? We sometimes struggle with that because we have different ideas of what we should be doing. But, you know, once we commit to becoming Christians or followers of Christ, we are committed to walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus said, I did not come to do my own thing. I came to do the will of the Father. And so the same applies to us. You know, to be a follower of Christ means that we get more than just get saved or born again. That's where the Christian life begins. But that's only the beginning. We are then to follow Christ. And in order to follow Christ as he tells us to do, we need to live a life that is surrendered to him. Do you agree with that? We need to live a life that is surrendered to him. When we ask the Lord to, or commit to surrendering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who has come to live in us, will lead us and guide us in the footsteps of Jesus. It's not just going for a walk wherever we choose, but it is walking in the footsteps of Jesus, our Lord, who walked before us. Paul, in writing to the believers in Ephesus, gave us three instructions of how to walk out our Christian life as a disciple. In Ephesians chapter 1 or 5, verse 1 and 2, we read, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. First of all, Paul begins and says that we are to be imitators of God. Now, the Greek word for imitator means to become like. When we make our commitment to Christ, the Holy Spirit working in us will produce the character of Christ in us. And some of the characters of Christ are found also in the book of Galatians. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. How many of us can recite them from memory? Love, joy, peace, self-control. Very good. Very good. No, that's great. Those are the characters of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit lives within us, and as we are walking out our Christian life through all the various different circumstances, your circumstances will be different than my circumstances. But it is in those circumstances, whether good or difficult, or sometimes even what we would call bad circumstances, the Holy Spirit is producing the character of Christ within us. Aren't you glad that's his responsibility? All he asks us to do is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We are to walk in love. This means to keep pressing towards the mark. None of us here have arrived at perfection. If you have, please come and tell the rest of us how you did it. None of us have arrived at a state of perfection. We're all in the process of growing to be more and more like Christ in each day of our lives. This, when it talks about walking in love, it talks about the love of God, the agape love. Now, this is not love like the country songs sing about, I will love you forever. And that's with good intentions. But our own love at times will run out. And we see that in human experience so often. But God's love, Calvary love, is a love that lasts forever. Aren't you glad that when Christ has committed to love you, it's not an on-again, off-again type of love. It's a love through good and bad. And so that's how we are to walk in with others. Calvary love spares no pain to promote the good and the well-being of others. Philippians 2, 1-4, Paul wrote to the Philippian believers and said, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Do we always do that? Agreeing wholeheartedly with each other? Sometimes we have to work at that. But agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Now, as a church, what does it mean to have one mind and one purpose? That is to live our lives in such a way that others, seeing us, will say, as Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples by how much you love each other. Now, that's not always easy, is it? That can be quite challenging at times because we sometimes have some very different viewpoints about things, and sometimes we are absolutely sure that we are right. Now, I know there's nobody sitting in the pews here this morning that thinks that way, but if you're ever tempted to think that way, just remember that no one other than Jesus was always right. Jesus was always right in everything he said and he did. Then it goes on to say, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take interest in others. That sometimes means that we have to lay aside our own views of things and do things for others so that the purpose of God can be worked out as a whole, what is best for the church family. And then Paul goes on to warn and say, don't take part in sinful pleasures. Now, all of us have temptations. We're tempted daily. And some of those temptations are to live as the world lives or the culture round about us. And you know the thing is about, you know the one thing about sin is this. It's fun. It's true. Sin is fun. The pleasure of sin lasts for a season. That's why people do it. But in the end, it turns into sorrow. Then Paul goes on in verse 8. He says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And where is Jesus dwelling right now? In heaven. But he's also living within us by his Holy Spirit. And so the light of Jesus is shining in us. And if you and I are obedient to the Lord, his light will shine from us. There are two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You see, before we were believers in Christ, we were members of the kingdom of darkness, spiritually dead, disconnected from God, living by the dictates of our old sinful nature. Now, all of us have an old sinful nature. Some of us, it is more underneath than it is expressed on the outside, but we all have a sinful nature, a nature that at the center or at the core of it is I, me, and myself, the self-life. I will do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. And I'm sure we are all familiar with those kinds of things because people sometimes say those things to us as Christians. But if we are going to be followers of Christ, we become members in the kingdom of light. And then we walk in the light and not in the darkness. The New Living Translation puts it this way, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, instead expose them. Now, expose them. How do we as Christians expose the sinful nature of those who are not yet followers of Christ? Do we go up to them and say, you're a sinner, you're lost, and you're going to a lost eternity? Doesn't work too well, does it? But as you and I follow Christ and we obey what he tells us to do, the Holy Spirit living in us will shine through us. And when we meet people who are living in the kingdom of darkness and or living out the acts of darkness, the light of the Holy Spirit will expose that what they are doing. You and I don't have to expose it. It's the Holy Spirit shining through us that will expose the darkness. Light will always expose what the darkness hides. But we are also to speak to them. So how do we speak to them? In love and gentleness, we must tell them of God's love for them. We must tell them that Jesus loved them so much that he gave his life for them, and that he sacrificed his life so that we can be set free from the kingdom of darkness and be brought into the kingdom of light. Because the kingdom of darkness, the end thereof, is eternal destruction. But the good news is that you and I can switch pathways in our life. We were all walking in the kingdom of darkness before we came to Christ. But when we came to Christ, we believed in him. And as we believed in him, the Holy Spirit made us children of light. Then lastly, in verse 15, we read, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." How many of you watched the World Series this year? There's some baseball fans here. How many of you remember that play that one of the Washington Nationals made? He put down a bunt, and then he ran for first base. And when he got to first base, he hit the first baseman's glove, which already had the ball in it, knocked it out of his glove. And so the umpire called him safe. But the coach in the dugout said, no, he was out. And so he called for a replay. And the replay showed that the as the player, as he was running to first base, was not, as Johnny Cash would say, "I walked the line." He ran on the inside of the first baseline, and when he got to first base, he hit the first baseman's glove, and the ball got knocked out. And but the rule says that the last half of the from first base or from home plate to first base, you need to run outside the baseline, not more than 3 feet, so that when the catcher throws at first base, there is an open path for him to throw the ball. And so at the replay showed that the player was out. Sometimes you and I might not walk exactly as the Lord asks us to walk. And we think we're safe, but the ump calls us out. Who's the ump? Our conscience. The Holy Spirit convicting our conscience. We need to walk as those who are wise. Why? Because we are to redeem the time that God has given to us. Each one of us gets the same amount of time every day, 24 hours, every day. Whether you live here or there, whether you have a high education or a lower education, whether you're rich or poor, all of us get 24 hours a day. How do we use our time? Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, gives a parable of the talents. And in that parable, one man received 5 talents. He went out and he made 5 more. Another one got 2 talents. He went and doubled his. The one who got the 1 talent said, "You know, my boss is a pretty hard fella. I'm just going to go and hide it so I won't lose it." What this parable teaches us that whatever time God has given to us, he will call and account for. What have you done with your time? Have you ever thought of that? What have you done with your time? We need to have a proper attitude about time that God has given us. We need to think of how we can invest it in God's kingdom. We are not to waste time or to kill time. How many of you have ever worked with an employee that 10 minutes after they got to work, they started looking at the clock as to when will it be time for me to go home? How many of you have ever worked with an employee like that? There are people just are not conscious that the time that is given to us, we are to make good use of. When you are employed by your boss, you are to do what he asks you to do. We are children of God's kingdom, and we have Christ giving us instruction of how we are to use our time. God wants us to use our time wisely. If you have the gift of helps, please help others. If you are an encourager, encourage others. If during the day sometime somebody's name pops into your mind and it comes back maybe more than once, maybe just pick up the phone and phone that person and encourage them. You know how much a word of encouragement does for somebody else that's discouraged at the time? It does a whole lot of good. I have a friend who loves to give. God has given this man the gift of being successful in business, and he loves to give. He helps others in their missions project. He helps young ministers get started. He helps the poor and the needy. And he does it with joy because God has given him the ability to make money to help others. Nothing wrong with making money. But are we using it for God's kingdom? Then Paul introduces us to a common verse that we use quite often in Pentecostal churches, and that's Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, when a person drinks too much alcohol spirits, what happens to them? That alcohol spirit causes them to lose control over their faculties. Why does Paul put that together with the being filled with the Spirit? He says, when you are filled with the Spirit, that which fills you will control you. All of us are full of something. Somebody may have even told you what you were full of. But we're all full of something. We can be full of self. We can be full of just living for fun and for ourselves. We can be, or we can be full of the Holy Spirit. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit comes in and fills every area of our life. Now, this is also a process, because when we first get filled with His Spirit, He comes and He fills that which is empty. But there are things in our lives where we still have some things in there that maybe shouldn't be there. And as the Holy Spirit convicts us to empty out our lives of these things, then He can move into those areas of our lives so that we can be a blessing in our whole life, not just part of our life. And He says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the heart. So being filled with the Spirit is also very closely linked to being filled with the joy of the Lord. And what does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And how many of us as believers would say, I need more strength? Amen? We need more strength. And really, when we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, that is where our strength comes from. And that is where great joy also comes from, as we allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and through us. And then always giving thanks. Always giving thanks. You know, it's so easy to do the other one. Grumble, complain, criticize, snipe. You know, it's easy. None of us need any lessons in doing that. Amen? None of us need lessons in doing that. We can do that. We can just put that on automatic control and away it goes. But, you know, the Lord is not pleased when we live on the negative side of life. He wants our lips to proclaim the positive goodness of God, His blessings to us. And, you know, even in difficult times, God will take and turn those difficult times into good if we trust Him to bring us through. If we keep our hand in His hand and allow Him to lead us. When we come through, the most perfect example of that back in the Old Testament was Joseph. God gave Joseph a dream that he would one day rule, his family would come and bow before him. And he was just a young fella. And when he shared that with his brothers were not too happy with that. And so then he went through some very difficult times. But we have to look at the end of the story. The end of the story was that as he was in Egypt and as he was went through some very difficult times there, God raised him up to be the highest, second highest in command in the land. And he was able to be a blessing not only to his own family, but to all the people living in Egypt and all the countries round about who came for food when there was a famine in the land. So God can take our difficulties and turn them around for good as long as we trust Him to be the one who leads us. And when we are faithful to walk in the love of God and to walk in the light, that's walking in God's word, and the light that the Holy Spirit brings to us through that word, and then to walk wisely, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this morning I want to challenge each one of us. Let us be children of God who demonstrate our love to one another so that when the people from the outside look in and they say, you know, that church isn't perfect, but they sure love one another. And that church also seeks to walk in the light of God's word. And that church believes in being filled with the Holy Spirit so that the wisdom of God can be manifest in our lives each and every day. Father, we thank you for this portion of scripture. We thank you, Lord, that as we surrender ourselves to you, that we can walk in such a way, Lord, that it pleases you. But not only does it please you, Lord, the world round about us will know that you are alive and well, living in our hearts and lives. And Lord, that we have the desire to share Jesus with those that are still outside the kingdom of God. We pray all these wonderful things in Jesus' name. Amen.